Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us here at Keeping It Young, where Dave and Bethley share practical lessons from God's Word about marriage, family, and ministry life. They desire to encourage, edify, and equip you as you navigate these important matters in your own life. Well, today Dave and Bethley continue their series on loving him well. I encourage you, while you listen, the man of the house is under great attack in our world today, and it's time we take a special focus on this particular need. So let the miles fade away between you and the Youngs as they share their hearts with you wherever you might be in the world.
So here's a good question for you. All right, you ready?
Yes.
What did you like most about this book?
I would say that even though we have a great marriage, this book helped me understand you better.
Okay.
And it helped me to be aware of areas where I could improve. And the book opened my eyes to hurts and difficulties that other wives face in their marriage. And I felt like it equipped me to have more compassion and to be able to offer sound counsel to them other than just, goodness, I'm really sorry that that's sure. going on in your marriage.
Absolutely. So it did help us to know how to help others.
Yes. And I think first and foremost, though, it helped me to understand you better.
Okay. Now I'm going to ask you a question about that.
Okay.
We're probably going to cover it later, so we don't want to give away something that's coming up.
Okay.
But just maybe could you pick one area where you would say, you know, here was one area, just for our audience's sake.
Yes.
This helped me to understand my David better. Would there be one area you could mention?
There are many times throughout the book, but there's one time in particular where Mr. Thomas addresses how guys think. And we already know if you are married, if you've only been married a couple of weeks, you know your husband thinks totally differently. Yeah,
and
can
I jump in here and say,
yes,
men do think.
Yeah. Yes.
Most
they
of
do
the time.
Think. Yeah, so it will encourage you instead of sitting around thinking, does my husband even think this through?
Sure, I got you off track.
It will encourage
there a little bit,
so you that your husband does think things through, but he thinks so very differently than we as women do. And so to me, it was incredibly eye-opening. Wow, this is how David has been functioning for the last 28 and a half years. And it was a good encouragement
sure.
to me that there's nothing against me in the way that you think. It's God-given and created. And I can respond to that in a godly way.
Yes.
Not that we haven't been. We have a great marriage.
Right.
But it just was very encouraging and eye-opening.
I thought so,
I
too.
Think.
And I know
yes.
I know what you meant by that, because mm-hmm. it helped me to understand things there as well. So how about this one, then? Is there anything you did not like, just off the top of your head?
I wouldn't say that there was anything that I was totally, nope, I don't like that. I'm going to totally cross that out in the book. But there were some things that I had some cautions about
okay.
that I wasn't quite sure how I felt
yeah,
about it.
And I think
it.
We're going to mention those probably
yes,
pretty
we
fast
will.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So
yes.
in the time we have left, let's do just a quick overview of part one. Because
okay.
in part one, there were at least maybe two things that kind of stood out there.
Okay.
It's a section about how he is trying to help wives to know their understanding in Christ, first of all.
Mm.
And he says that no matter what your husband does, no matter how your marriage is,
right.
God, not your marital status or the condition of your marriage, should define your life.
Yes, and that is the underlying, I guess, foundation of the whole book.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that is taught in the Bible, that yeah. we are daughters of Christ, and that's where our identity should be found.
Yeah, and you know, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, where he's talking to women about winning their husband
yes.
Without the word.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. about Abraham calling Sarah Lord.
Or Sarah calling Abraham
Sarah,
Lord.
Yes, Sarah
yes.
calling Abraham Lord.
I knew what you were saying.
He said at the end there, he says to husbands that they're to dwell with their wives according to knowledge and
yes.
understand their wives, that kind of stuff,
yes.
giving honor to their wife.
Mm-hmm.
But then he closes that entire section with the statement that we are heirs together of the grace of life.
Yes.
And there's some people who would take that to mean that we have children together. The grace of life. Some take
mm-hmm.
that position.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But in a spiritual sense, the fact of the matter is, I think what Peter is reminding us there is that we both are in Christ. We are both recipients of God's grace. We're both on equal footing in that area.
Yes.
And wife, I will tell you, you wives that are listening, ladies, there is no doubt about it. Whether you're in a really great marriage or a struggling one, your identity, first and foremost, is you are a daughter of God.
Yes.
You are a child of God. You are loved by God. And if your husband, God forbid, is a jerk the rest of his life, is a failure, if I can even use maybe a strong word like that.
Yes.
The fact of the matter is, you can still be everything God wants you to be.
Right.
And that's the point. He's one of the points he's trying to make here, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I would even go so far as to say that even in a great marriage, our marriage, I feel, is a great marriage, but there had to come a time where I had to remember my identity and all of my expectation should be in Christ. If I am looking to David to be what only God should be to me, then I am going to be disappointed every time.
That's
and so I need to be looking to God to be that to me.
Now discuss this, because here's something he says, and I want to hear your take on this. He says, wives who find their identity in Christ garner the respect of their husbands and therefore will have some sphere of influence in their husbands' lives. So, and he goes on to that to say this, and this is where I want to hear your take. Wives who hang all their identity and expectations on their husbands appear weak to their husbands and have little influence. Now, if I'm right, that was an area where you weren't sure you agreed with that.
Right.
Okay, talk about
that. I had never heard it put that way before. I do know that even in our marriage, if I am expecting from you what only God can be to me, if I am expecting you, for instance, to be my constant encourager, I'm going to be frustrated, and therefore you will be very frustrated. So I only see it as this is a frustration to both husband and wife if the wife is hanging her expectation on her husband instead of the Lord. But he said that the wives appear weak to their husbands, that he, if I'm understanding it correctly, that the husband feels like, my wife, she just can't do anything on her own. She just needs to just buck up and do this on her own. And I don't know. I don't feel that in our marriage, and so I'm not really sure how I feel about that.
Do you think this is what he's saying? Is he trying to say there that when a wife is struggling, it frustrates the husband?
Yes.
And he's frustrated because he feels like, what can I do?
Crying out loud. He can't meet her needs.
And when she is wanting her husband to meet a need that he can't meet, then she's frustrated.
Right.
And so what he's saying is that when you are strong in Christ, when a wife is growing in the Lord and her identity is in Jesus and she is walking with God on her own, no matter what her husband is doing, that it does open the door for her to, number one, have God's favor.
Yes.
But also to have a God-given opportunity in the best possible way to influence her husband in a right direction.
Absolutely.
Is that what he's saying?
I would think so.
And you agree with that, right?
I do agree with that. I would think in a struggling marriage, that would be a good testimony to her husband, if nothing else. Sure. And then in a good marriage, it just keeps everything all well. I know that when I'm walking with God, I am more at peace. I am more apt to be happy and for things to be well in our marriage. If I am not walking with God, it's just a recipe for us to not have a good day maritally.
And that's very true.
Yes.
Well, I think we have time to just mention one more thing he talks about here in this opening session, okay?
Okay.
A section, rather. Mm-hmm. He talks about this thing, he calls it, from the words of another counselor, he calls it functional fitness. Mm. And when he discusses this, what he talks about is the fact that he uses the word cannot, which I'm going to maybe even challenge that a little bit. He says some husbands cannot emotionally respond to the hurt their wives experience, and therefore the husband cannot change.
Right.
I think maybe the better word might be will not. First of all, some husbands will not change?
Yes. I don't know if he was saying that they had some
inability
or emotional brokenness from their past that they just didn't even know how to change.
So then here's where he goes with that. Mm-hmm. He says that some men will only change, and he's talking about issues in which a man should change. So think like that.
Okay.
It's not just there's a problem in this marriage. This marriage has an issue here. This man, there's things he needs to change.
Right.
And he says that some men will only change if their wives change the status quo of pain. That's what he calls functional fitness in the marriage. Mm-hmm. Meaning the wife may offer an ultimatum of this has to change or else. Mm-hmm. Now that's a challenge for us because we don't believe in divorce.
Right.
And it's also a challenge for us because separation is a risky matter. And so one of the things he's talking about here is that sometimes a problem in a marriage is so big.
Right.
That the wife has no other alternative except to say, okay, then I can't be a part of this.
Right.
And so he doesn't call for divorce.
No.
But he does call for a separation there.
He does.
In which he says that if the husband feels the pain of, oh my goodness, I might lose my wife over me.
Right. And even more than that, though, sad to say, the husband is like, oh, no one's going to be here to do the laundry, to cook my meals, to buy the groceries. And he feels it just physically and practically in his everyday life. Right?
Here's the quote. Yes.
Yes.
And so I think he says, a husband losing his wife is perhaps the greatest possible motivator for a husband. Mm. And that one kind of caught me off guard a little bit because I was like, wow, he's starting this book really hard here about, you know, sometimes we have to get really tough in right. these situations to solve a marriage matter. Mm-hmm. And you know, I do kind of think in a sense I agree with him. Do you?
Well, I took
we have just a short minute here. So.
Great caution about this part here because in 1 Peter chapter 3, the Bible tells wives who have an unbelieving husband, and I take that to mean he's unsaved or he's not walking with God. The Bible tells the wives that they need to influence their husband by their behavior, mm-hmm. that it is a meek and quiet spirit,
yes.
that it is a loving spirit, that it is a person who's going to serve him no matter what he does. And so I wasn't sure how I felt about that based on 1 Peter chapter 3.
Okay, so we're out of time here, and we're going to have to come back to that, obviously.
Okay.
But here's one thing, just to leave our audience with this idea. He's not saying that a wife has finally had it.
Right.
She's angry and she's blowing up and she's just going to, you know, mow it down.
Right.
What he's saying is there comes a place if a wife finds her identity in Christ and she's walking with God and she's growing spiritually and there's an issue in their marriage that her husband will not change and it is vital, it is important, it is an issue that has to be done for the sake of the marriage and the sake of the success of the family.
Right.
That sometimes a wife who is spiritual enough has no other alternative but to say, okay, I can't be part of that.
Right.
So I'm going to step away.
Yes.
And what he says about that is that may be the greatest possible motivator. And I think I agree because men do get very serious when they're finally faced with this idea. Some guys will never reach out to us for counseling unless the wife finally says, all right, we've talked about this for 5 years.
That is true.
And I don't know what else to do except I'm walking away for a while.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden he gets very serious and he starts pursuing his wife and I'll change.
Right.
And I think that's what he's talking about there. But he is not talking about blowing up, being angry. And right. so he's talking about you have to be so spiritual that you can walk away closer to God so that God can work in your husband's life through this so you can come back to a stronger marriage.
So that ultimately you would be back together and so things would be better.
This opening session was hard. It was kind of a challenging, although we think we agree with it.
Well, what a blessing. Did you get some nuggets of truth for the journey? I surely hope so. Hey, tune in next time for Dave and Bethley's weekly Q&A episode, okay? This is Michael Barnett, and if you'd like more information or would like to hear more of these edifying episodes of Keeping It Young, just visit keepingityoungpodcast.com. Today's program has been a production of Keeping It Young. So thanks for listening, and remember to serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information, or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIO Radio Network.